This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. It's Wednesday morning, and we are getting started on Animal Central with that awesome song by the Bowermen. I don't know about you, but in my house, when I play that song, my dogs go crazy. They absolutely love it. And it's the perfect start to today, because today is International or World Dog Day, which is a time that we need to reflect on how, you know, I mean, dogs have always been our very best friends. We need them in our lives. They give us so much unconditional love and loyalty. And we need to spare a thought for those dogs who are sitting in shelters at the moment. You know, the abuse and the abandonment of dogs is at an all-time high. And I think we need to take some time today to just think about that and see what we can actually do to help. So how can you help? Well, there's a couple of ways. Firstly, you can adopt. You can get out to your nearest shelter and adopt a dog that desperately needs a new home. Secondly, you can donate. Shelters don't get government support, so at the end of the day, they are really reliant on the public and sponsors to help them with vet bills, to buy dog food, treats, blankets, all that kind of thing. The third thing that you can do is get involved. You know, join organizations like Ban Animal Trading and fight against backyard breeding and puppy mills. Fight against the sale of puppies in pet stores. Get out there, do your bit. You can also educate. Educate friends, family, people that you know. Educate your children, because that is where it all begins. You can also go to a shelter, go and get involved, go and bath the dog, go and wash, you know, go and take them for walks. This is something that these little guys in the shelters, they sit there the whole day and they need some kind of human interaction. So get out there and do that. So, you know, to start today, I've got some wonderful guests in, and they also are animal angels that get involved everywhere they can. But I thought I'd start today on something a little bit different. I want to talk about hardy dogs. Now, I'm sure most of you have hardy dogs in your gardens. And I remember a time I was on an international business call with one of Cesar Millan's representatives, and a hardy dog landed on my window ledge and let out the scream. This guy, there you go, exactly like that. So this guy actually, What was that? He got such a fright because he knew I was in Africa, and he assumed that I was being attacked by some kind of wild beast. When I explained to him that this was a very large bird, he was quite, well, you know, it sounds like a pterodactyl, so I don't know if I want to come and visit you guys. But we all know the hardy dogs, and we've learned to love them, and we've learned to enjoy their screaming. But did you know that a hardy dog is actually monogamous? So they breed for life. They mate for life. So think about that, you know, before you try to poison them or get rid of them out of your garden. These guys mate for life, and they also play a huge part in our ecosystem because they eat snails, they eat the Parktown prawns, they eat beetles and lawn crickets. So they really, really do help us. And most golf courses actually welcome them for these exact reasons. They have a distinctive call, but what I didn't know is that they can also give a low, what they call a puppy growl, when they find something delicious to eat, so they will growl at it. They're widespread throughout sub-Saharan Africa, and they nest in large colonies, so you get about 100 birds together, but then they disperse in small groups to go and forage and look for food. Their only predators are obviously humans, once again, owls, eagles, and you know, just before the rainy season like now, these guys are actually breeding. So, you know, let's take care of our hardy dogs. I mean, they're part of South African life, and we'd miss them if they weren't around. But moving on now to today's show, we have got Emma O'Brien in studio. Emma, in my opinion, is one of, if not the best pet photographer in the country. Hi, Emma. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Emma, we've worked together a lot. You mm-hmm. are our official Canine Zone photographer.
Yep.
And you do a lot more than pet photography. You also get involved in helping the shelters. What do you do?
I do. I am Sandton SPCA's patron photographer. In fact, I'm off there after our interview today to go and photograph their animals that are waiting to be adopted. for me, you know, I have a full house at home. There are five dogs and two rescue parrots, so there is not really space for any more. So I kind of go and do my bit by going to the shelters that I work with and going and taking nice photos of the animals that are waiting to be adopted. We found, I think there's been quite a few posts worldwide about it. We found that it makes a huge difference to animals being adopted if there's a nice photo of them. People share the photos on social media much more widely if they're clear, and then they people like to look at them. And the other thing for me is educating people about the fact that shelter dogs aren't all kind of pavement specials. Yes. They're not all broken and damaged. As Elka's here, as our other guest today, will be able to testify. You know, if you have a particular pure breed that you like, you'll find them in a shelter. You'll find a specific rescue for the dog breed that you like. So I've got a project on the go called the Rescue Dog Photo Project at the moment, which is about photographing dogs that have been adopted from shelters and are now in their forever homes and taking pictures of them and just telling their stories to try and document the variety that shelter dogs come in.
And they make such amazing pets. I mean, we do that in Canine Zone. We get these dogs that have been adopted and go into these homes, and they almost they're so grateful. They make the most amazing pets. And you're quite right, Emma. We have adorable adoptables with the pictures, and I always ask the shelters, please send nice, clear photos, because it does make a difference.
It does absolutely.
But I you know, the reason they always say is that it's very difficult to photograph a dog, and I've seen you in action. You get all involved and you get down there, and I don't know how you do it, because let me tell you guys, Emma goes
not really
well, Emma, you go out there. I've seen this. Emma goes out there and she'll go, okay, we're going to do the photograph, and she makes these noises and doggy noises and gets down there, and in 10 minutes the best photos come out. These dogs just dote on you and watch you all the time. What's the secret?
Well, I think it's kind of a bit of a honed skill over time, but also you just have to be very patient. It's easier with people's dogs in their homes that they're comfortable with, or people's, you know, I had a day on Sunday where people brought rescue dogs to my studio, and depending on how well trained the dogs are, it makes the task a bit easier. SPCA dogs, of course, most of them have been locked up in their runs, and they come out and they're all excited.
Full
so it is quite challenging to get them to sit still, and it can get a bit frustrating. But I mean, they're like small children. There's no point getting cross. You have to just kind of go, okay, well, let's give them 5 minutes to pelt round and let's try again.
Because you can't explain to them. What do they say? It's the worst to work with children and
absolutely.
Dogs.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're trying to say to them, look, we're trying to help you get a home here. Could you just sit still?
Nicely. Yeah. But I don't know if I agree with you, Emma. I try and put in a photo of me and my dogs, or my dogs in the magazine, and man, it just, I stand there with mints and Viennas and do dances and make weird inhumane noises. All I get is this blurry,
you know. What you do need is invariably, it's much easier if you have somebody helping you. You know, I would never go, it's impossible to go and try and take a picture of a dog that's even my own dogs are not very well behaved, so we won't use them as an example, but it is very difficult to concentrate on taking a picture if you don't have somebody to help you by waving treats for you or positioning the dog for you. So I think the probably the first tip is have somebody to help you.
Now,
otherwise, it is impossible. You know, you do need assistance with
it. Yes, because we'll talk about that later, because I wanted you to give us some tips, because please do, because I get these gorgeous photos and people who really love their dogs sending pictures in for our Your Photos page, and half of them I can't use, and it breaks my heart because they don't understand resolution and that you need a clear photograph. So we will get to that, but let's also talk to you about how did this come about that you focused? Do you do other photography as well? Is this all you do?
I do family photography and maternity and baby photography. So most portrait photography I'll cover. I got very foolishly, don't do it, bought a puppy from a pet store. Who promptly died 36 hours later from parvovirus. And I kind of knew at the time that I bought him, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, they're all cute.
You think
he needs a home. And I, you know, took it to the vet, and the vet said to me, you know, you can't have another unvaccinated puppy in your house now for another 6 months.
Right.
So I thought, right, I kind of have to make up for this. You know, I mean, I went in and went catatonic on the pet shop. So I mm-hmm. went back in there and I went mad. So, and put off some customers with my crying and snot and swearing at the guy in there.
Good for you.
So I then went to Santon SPCA and decided, you know, I kind of need to go and adopt somebody. And the puppy that I'd bought was a little a Daxie puppy. And I sort of had my heart set on getting a Daxie. So I get to the SPCA and lo and behold, there is a Dachshund. He's quite an old Dachshund who's trotting around. So I was like, okay, well, that's probably my dog. Because he was older and he was vaccinated. Okay, we had no problem with him catching anything being in the house. So that was started off with Jeremy, who is now, I don't know how old he is. He's maybe sort of 13 now.
He's still around.
No, he's still around. Oh, okay. I had him 4 years in February. Yep. So still going strong. And then from there, I said to them, you know, well, how can I help you? How can I help you raise funds? You know, I'm a photographer. This, you know, how can I, you know? So I volunteered my services to shoot a calendar for them, which is now the Santon SPCA calendar. We've completed the fifth one now, which will be out sort of September time. And then from there, I just kind of ended up getting involved with more rescue places. I then went to Claw and I've done quite a bit of stuff with them, and then I adopted another dog from there. So the family grew, and then I got another little baby from Ark. So it's just, it kind of snowballed from there. And I guess if it hadn't have been for a rather tragic and silly decision, maybe this wouldn't have
happened.
So it was just in kind of my mission in life was to try and educate people about how great rescue dogs are, encourage people to adopt dogs, you know, because they really are fabulous.
They really are
fabulous.
And Emma, didn't you also do the elderly dogs? Oldies?
Yes, so last year's Santon SPCA calendar was Golden Oldies. So we had a whole bunch of very geriatric dogs coming into the studio, and I thought it would be a little easier to photograph them because they wouldn't be so wriggly. However, we didn't take into account some of them were blind and deaf. So it's a little difficult to get their attention if they can't see or hear you.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, as time's gone on, our Golden Oldies have sort of, I don't know if there's, I think we've lost about five, unfortunately.
Really?
It's inevitable. We had dogs that were 14, 15 coming through the door.
Were all dogs that were up for adoption been adopted?
These were all adopted pets. Most of them were shelter dogs. I think we had a couple that weren't. But just to highlight, you know, how beautiful older dogs are. We got a great collection of pictures. So, you know, that's something that's very important to me because I think, you know, when I went to the SPCA 2 weeks ago and there's an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old dog there that have been dropped off because we don't want these anymore. It's crazy.
It is crazy, Emma. And, you know, the old dogs, I've heard the excuses. They say they're not going to adopt an older dog because they're not going to live long.
Please.
But, I mean, we did a story about an old doggy called Hannah that was adopted. And, yes, she was only in her forever home for a short while. But what a difference that made.
Of course. Yeah.
And I'm actually going to bring Elke de Brain in here. Elke, you from Nordic Rescue. I mean, do you also see that the old dogs just get overlooked?
Yes, they do. And like you said, Sharon, first of all, thank you for having me here today. It's true. The older dogs, I mean, we got one, an old dog, and we thought was 3 years old, ended up being 8 years old. And he lived in his home for about 2 years when he passed away. But I tell you the difference, you know, the difference that it made
in
that dog. Yeah. I mean, we were heartbroken. We only had him for 2 years. But older dogs are magnificent. I'll tell you, they fit in lovely. They're personalities are so unique. I can't explain exactly, you know, describe what they are really like. But I personally would not take a puppy. I've got 6 Siberian Huskies. And I would not take in a younger one. I would rather go for an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, because A, they are overlooked.
Yes.
And people just don't realize all that they want is just those golden years to spend lying in the sun, being pampered, being loved. I mean, It's absolutely. Heaven for them. It's heaven. Yeah. And people just bypass them because they say they're not going to adapt. Yeah. Well, they do adapt very nicely.
Even better.
Yes, and, they do. They are so grateful. I mean, you'll see their personality. I can't explain it. It's almost like they look at you with that thankfulness in their eyes that, you know what, your heart just melts. Yeah. I mean, there's no ways.
And the sad thing is that, as you're saying, a lot of people when the dog gets older, they hand it into an SPCA.
I cannot understand how. No. But then, you know, that's a whole other debate, really. But yeah, and I think whilst we're talking about older dogs, obviously we're not pimping any particular brands. But the thing is, as well, people worry about vet bills with older dogs. Mm. A lot of your pet insurance will insure dogs up to the age of 8. So yes. If you end up with a dog that you think maybe is 6 or 7, you can get them onto pet insurance.
Absolutely.
So problem solved, actually. So
absolutely.
That's, you know, I say my sausage. He's been pretty healthy, really. So apart from
that, people think they get, but they don't. They're actually very healthy.
If they're fed properly and looked after.
I mean, my two are 9 years old now, and you know, we're looking at the one with a bit of arthritis, but they're very healthy.
Yeah,
we took in a Siberian Husky. She was about 11 when we took her in, and she's 13 now. But she does have some issues.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's because for 11 years, she lived in a concrete place. Had to live in the garage on the floor. Mm. Didn't get the right food and things like that. So, you know, you do get those odd ones. But you know what? She's a pleasure to have.
Yeah.
She really is. She's so grateful for every little thing that she gets.
Yeah.
And all she does is just lie and be happy.
Yeah. They're so settled.
Yes. And they're chilled.
They really are chilled and settled. And as you say, it's almost like they know they've been given this chance, and they utterly devoted.
Yeah.
Really, they really are.
Yeah.
And it's very sad. I was saying to Emma earlier, my dream is to start a shelter, a retirement shelter.
That'd be awesome.
For these old dogs, because they need a little bit of extra care and warmth in winter, you know, and stuff like that. But I was wondering, so a calendar like that, Emma, that was actually sold to raise funds?
Yep, it was to raise funds for Sandton SPCA. So every year our calendar is, the costs of it are completely sponsored by, we have page sponsors, etc. So the 100% of the proceeds from the sale of that calendar go back to Sandton SPCA. So we shot the 2016 one in June, which was a little stressful because the theme for this year is going to be best friends.
So we
had multiple dogs. So we started the day with 3 beagles that wouldn't do anything, they were told. So it was rather a hectic day. But and we included some cats this year as well because we've had requests for people to have cats.
That must have been interesting.
They were easier than the dogs.
Oh, really?
Hey?
That's interesting because normally they will do what they feel like.
Yes. We had a few that tried to climb the curtains, but no, the cats were easier than the dogs.
And do you shoot in your own studio?
Yeah.
So you bring them all around
there? Everybody,
there.
We have like time slots, everybody comes through. Then we have quite a uniform finish to it. So for the previous years, I've been on location and what have you, so it's all been quite different, but I've tried to sort of make a more kind of fine art appearance for it, so it's just a bit more consistent.
And
really,
these calendars really work. I know for me as a dog lover, and many people out there, those are the calendars I want on the wall.
Yes.
I want to look up from my desk and see a beautiful puppy or a doggy. And I know we were speaking last week, we just did the perfect puppy calendar for Soweto Animal Rescue. And people love them, and they're good ways to raise funds. They really, really are.
Yeah.
Especially if they're nicely done and beautiful photos as well. So where can people get this calendar, Emma?
So it'll be launching probably towards the end of September. So they can have a look on the Sandton SPCA website, www.sandtonspca.org.za. They'll also be for sale. I've got a little online shop, which is emmaobrien.photography. So they'll be up there available to buy. And they'll be for sale in various shops in Parkhurst. People can pop into the SPCA and go and fetch them.
Directly
so they'll be,
from the SPCA.
So they'll be quite widely available.
I must admit, lately I've seen these wonderful campaigns from the SPCA. I don't know if you've seen the Cardies campaign now.
Mm-mm.
Where Cardies has jumped on board with this bracelet.
Okay.
That you can get from Cardies, and a percentage goes back to the SPCA.
Yeah.
Those are wonderful initiatives.
Yeah.
because people want to help, but it's always nice to get something nice, you know, and you and the pin, I don't know if you've seen the animal welfare pin.
Yes. Yeah.
That's another one that I'm after. I mean, that's really awesome.
Mm. I think it's a way for people because, you know, not everybody is comfortable with going to a shelter and brushing dogs or walking dogs because I think some people find it very upsetting.
Mm. Yes.
And I think for Alka's probably feels the same as me, the longer time you spend with it, you sort of not harden yourself to it, but you have to kind of go, okay, well, I'm coming in to do what I can do here, so there's no point getting upset because it doesn't actually help anybody. But I think for people who aren't comfortable with going, buying a calendar, buy a bracelet, make a donation, drop some blankets
SMS,
off, drop some
whatever.
Food off, is a way of, if everybody did a little bit, you know, things would be a lot better.
But that's interesting that you brought that up, and I was saying to somebody the other day, she said, how do you do this? How do you see? And look, I work at a desk.
Yeah.
And I do, and I get the stories and stuff like that. And yes, in the beginning, not a day went by that I wasn't in tears.
Yeah.
I've got to the stage now where you have to, in a way, not harden yourself, but get some perspective and say, how can I help? What do I do? Move on. Do you find that is something that you do develop, Alka, as you rescue?
I don't know because I still cry every single day.
Really?
I go to sleep crying about animals I see on Facebook that have been tortured and ripped to pieces and things like that. But I think you kind of pull yourself together because you then start focusing on the ones you have rescued.
How to help.
Then you have those happy tales and you post those lovely updates and you've taken a dog out of a very abused situation and put him into the most loving home that you can possibly find.
Mm.
So that kind of that's what I used to justify myself, to make myself deal with all the horrors that are out there.
Yeah.
Because it is still heartbreaking.
No, it's not
still
an easy life. No, I mean, I've sometimes said I wish I didn't love dogs that much because
we all
the hurt that you feel, it would have been perhaps an easier life if I didn't care. But you care so much and it's hard.
You've got to basically look at the success.
Yes.
And you know, when it really gets to you, because sometimes some of these stories really do get to you.
Terrible.
And then you have your moment of tears and everything and then you sort of look and say, okay, fine. But then remember, you saved this one and that one and that one and that one was ill and you made him better or her better and whatever. And that is an amazing reward to see that dog from being absolutely nothing to becoming this beautiful animal.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we posted something yesterday. It was a husky, Akira.
Yes.
I don't know if she was one of yours, but the before picture was just.
Yes.
You couldn't
terrible.
Even see that this was a husky.
Yeah.
And the after picture, that is what makes it all worthwhile.
It does, it just puts something in your heart. You know, you forget about that pain.
Mm.
So we've got the pain and we've got the happiness, and we just have to. Wait, you know, wait
and it
a bit.
Takes a special person to do it. It's something that clicks in you, I don't know, as a child or something happens in your life that you just, I mean, what makes a person compassionate towards animals and others not, others that are able? I can never understand how people can abuse an animal.
No. Me neither. I mean,
so
look, I know from myself, I grew up on a farm. So, I mean, I've always loved animals. I've always have. And I did my little own rescue with the cats, hiding them away from my grandmother and things like that, you know, because in the farms, you know, they used to do horrible things many, many years ago. So I think, I don't know, I think maybe it's something that you're born with. I don't know.
I just think, you know, from my perspective of it, I got into photography and because I wanted to kind of make a difference and then you end up, I'm a full-time photographer, so I have bills to pay, so but it's always been something that's important to me to give back, and I guess animals is something I'm passionate about, and that's where I direct my giving back energy. And I think it just, it's important for me, actually. It's kind of, I find it's fulfilling for me to go and do it, because I think I just don't think it's right when you're in a position to do something to make a difference to not make a difference.
I mean, you do these you see these little SMS lines to raise funds from these shelters who are so desperate, and you think most people run up sell bills into the thousands.
Absolutely.
just pick up that phone, send a couple of SMSs. Yep. It's not going to hurt your pocket and no. It's going to really make a difference.
Yep.
So everybody can do something.
Yeah. And I think it's encouraging people to adopt dogs from shelters because they do make super pets. And I had a few people at my shoot on Sunday and they brought their one non-rescue with them. So introduced me to them. And this is the one we got before we knew better. And he's delightful. But then they've got another. So he's a Labrador. They've got another Labrador from via Labrador Rescue, and then they've got an Australian Shepherd from Australian Shepherd Rescue. So you can get beautiful purebred dogs from shelters.
Absolutely, you can.
I've also found as well. I'm also receiving more emails on that where people will say we are looking to adopt a dog, and we don't want to buy one from the breeder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changing. It's changing.
It is changing. Yeah. It's definitely changing. Okay, I see it every single day. Yes, there's still a lot of horrific stories, but it's almost like it's equalizing now.
Yeah. Yes,
there's also a lot of fantastic stories, and people are wising up. And if I was a pet store these days, still selling puppies, I'd be very worried because. I mean, you get the people from Banned Animal Trading who go out there, they really make a difference.
Yes,
they do.
And people are wising up. They don't accept this anymore. They won't tolerate it.
Nope.
If a pet store is named and shamed on Facebook, social media is
it's so very powerful.
So powerful. Yep. They'll literally go to that pet store and they will complain and they won't support it.
Nope.
So, you know, times they are changing.
Yes, definitely.
I learned my lesson the hard way getting a puppy from a pet store. Absolutely heartbreaking having to tell my daughter who was 8 at the time, oh, you know, the puppy that you left this morning when you went to school, not here anymore. You know, it's terrible. And
it
the vet, when I took him to the vet sort of rolled her eyes and was like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You will buy a puppy from a pet store. This is what's going to
absolutely.
Happen.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure most of us, I know I did it. We're going back many years ago. Amy has now passed away, 10 years ago. But I was in that same position in Hartebeespoort, a horrible little pet store, a little puppy in there, riddled with ticks and fleas.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have made it. My heart broke. And I bought her for 50 rand.
Wow.
And you think, oh, she lived to 14.
Yes.
So a lot of people go, but shame, how can we walk past?
No, of
but
course.
They don't understand that if you buy that puppy.
Oh, another one will fill its
another
spot.
Another one, and it's encouraging these horrible puppy mills. It really is.
Yeah.
Elke, do you find, now you focus on huskies.
Yes.
Do you find there's a lot of puppy mills that breed huskies?
Oh, God, too many, sorry.
Really?
Yeah, just too many. I mean, we are picking, at the moment, we've got a major crisis. There's so many huskies at the SPCAs that are strays and donated huskies. And the ones that we're finding on the streets at the moment are just, it's getting a little bit hectic. I've, at the moment, got about 14 huskies that need to find a place of safety by the end of Sunday.
Goodness.
It's
otherwise euthanasia.
No, probably two of them, yes, possibly, but the others are the personal circumstances of the lady that unfortunately has been evicted her huskies need a place of safety and whatever. Yeah, but I mean, you know, looking at the area, especially on the West Rand, I mean, at the moment, there are a lot of strays running around.
And
we cannot find the owners because a husky runs. I mean, if you're looking for a husky, you've got to look at about a 60-kilometer radius to try and see, because within 2 hours, I mean, they could be from one suburb to the next suburb, probably to the next, you know, from the east to the west or something like that. I mean,
no, absolutely.
We reunited a husky about 2 years ago that went missing in PE and landed up in the Cape.
Wow.
Went missing for 17 months.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Heaven knows what
and
happened to him.
Oh, so you
we
don't
know
what
happened in those 17 months.
There, yes.
But he was found
in
the Cape.
Ended up in Cape Town.
Yeah. There was a big story on one of our Facebook pages about Shadow. Yeah, it was really.
But I mean, Elke, we know what people don't know is Elke and I live quite close to each other, and she's always my go-to girl. So I've phoned her many, many times. So Elke, please come help. Something wrong here. I mean, last Christmas, we were trying to look over walls when people had disappeared and gone on holiday and left. So we've done a lot of good work together. But you know, I want to talk about that too, Alka, because I think when I see you and I go, Christmas is coming up. It's 4 months away. Yeah. We're probably going to see a lot of each other again.
Yes, we will.
I know those neighbors. I just know they're going to do it again. They bugger off. They go on holiday. They leave them with someone who comes in to feed the dogs, apparently only every 2 to 3 days. Surely people now should be making plans already and saying, well, we're going away in December.
Yep.
We need to find a kennel or a very reliable house sitter. Mm. What advice do you have for them?
Sharon, I think the problem is, you know, the finances. You know, the kennels are very expensive, the boarding kennels. And I mean, you know, I don't know, some people just prefer to have a good holiday than worry about the animals. You know, I don't know. I mean, they should be looking around because the kennels are going to be filling up very soon.
Very soon.
Definitely. Okay. And maybe we don't have enough kennels around because it's quite hectic over December. Yeah.
And you see, I think the problem is in the year they're quiet. So you don't need that many kennels. They close down. Yeah. But then come December, they're fully crazy. Built.
But the good thing is, although they're quiet throughout the year, the kennels, you know, a lot of rescue organizations make use of those kennels.
Oh, good. Yes.
So we as rescuers go and bombard those kennels, if you want to put it that way, throughout the year. But we have to obviously remove our dogs before the December time comes.
Yes. No, I just, you know, it always makes me very sad because I think also people, if they're going to go on holiday, they need to do some research and find the right kennel or the right house sitter. And sometimes it's a bit concerning. There are young people out there that are passionate about animals. But I've heard of a lot of situations where they've got a teenager in to look after the dogs. And the minute that car's out the driveway, it's party time and I'm out. Yeah. And the dog can't speak. So there's no way for you to actually check up.
No.
So you've got to do your homework and make sure it's the right person.
Definitely.
Or don't go. We haven't been on holiday in about 3 years now. And when I do, I've got a wonderful guy who comes and looks after us. I cry all the way down to Durban, you know. But, I mean, the other option is, of course, to find maybe pet-friendly accommodation, which I see there's a lot of good hotels, like even the Oyster Box Hotel. I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
I think there's a lot more places that allow animals now,
that are starting to allow that. I've seen that.
I'm not sure mine would be allowed, but probably blacklisted.
Well, I can't see myself going with six huskies to a place, so I stayed home.
Yes, I know. I know. And also when you do leave your dogs alone at home, they would probably be distressed, so they're going to bark. I know those were reasons that we spoke, Alka, is these poor dogs cry and bark constantly. Then you got the neighbors getting upset.
Yeah.
And please God, they don't try and harm the dog, you know, but that happens. It does happen. Poisonings or whatever the case may be. Or the SPCA is called, the dogs are taken in and possibly end up euthanized. So you've really got to make sure they're safe. They're part of the family. They deserve nothing less.
Yeah, I think people should really sort of look in advance to see what they're going to do if they know they're going to. People normally know they're going to go away in December anyway. So you've got half a year at least to make arrangements to do things.
Yeah, now Alka, tell me, you're Nordic Rescue.
Yes.
Where did this start? Where did you get in or start getting involved?
Phew, many years ago, but I wasn't obviously a shelter then. Mm. Started off just dealing with the lost huskies. Started a Facebook page for lost huskies, and I was just sort of trying to match them, which we had quite a lot of success. And then all of a sudden we got involved with the found ones and needed places for them to go. So we had to look at kennels, and then we had to give ourselves a name. Yeah, so that's where Nordic Rescue came about. And now we've got we deal with the lost founds and the homeless ones. So we obviously, you know, try and help. If we see there's a husky at the SPCA, we go through our database and see if there's anybody that, you know, wants a new husky or something and send them in to adopt those. Yeah, because
do you see an increase in adoptions?
It goes up and down. There's lots of people that want Siberian huskies. The only problem is the property doesn't qualify. You know, the home inspections are pretty strict, and people have got walls that are 4 foot walls, which is not going to do any husky any good because they'll scale over it.
No, for sure.
So it's difficult. A lot of people want, but yeah, we're battling. We do battle.
Well, we got to pay the bills, but when we come back, we're going to talk about microchipping and how important that is.
CliffCentral.com.
Flying fish now has even more flavor.
More flavor.
Huh?
Hey!
What you doing?
Bring even more flavor.
All right. Introducing new chilled green apple.
Chilled green apple.
It's a beer with all the bitterness brewed out and green apple flavor brewed in.
I see the flavor's brewed in.
Go on. Add some flavor.
Don't mind if I do.
Enjoy response.
Animal Central on CliffCentral.com.
And we're back with Elke de Bruin from Nordic Rescue and Emma O'Brien, the most fantastic photographer of pets. And I just wanted to talk about, you know, when you say these dogs run, they get lost. I guess it would be very important to always have a husky microchipped, or any dog.
Yes,
yeah.
Any dog.
Huskies, yes, definitely, without a doubt. But obviously, whichever dog comes into our care, we have, when we do rehome them, we microchip,
make
regardless
sure.
of breed. Regardless of breed. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I think it's one of the things when you have a dog, there's a few things you were saying, pet insurance,
yep.
Medical insurance. Yes.
Yes.
I've got mine on. And,
yes.
and it's very reasonable, actually. Yeah. It's not very expensive.
No, it's not.
Microchipping, it doesn't hurt them.
No.
It's very reasonable. I know companies like IdentiPet, they've got national database.
Yeah.
A national database. They've got scanners in all the SPCAs.
Yeah.
So if your dog's found, it's quick.
The
to
only
get
problem that we've come across with the microchipping is that, you know, people microchip their dogs, then they rehome them themselves.
Don't change the details.
And they don't change the details.
Yeah.
So we've got huskies sitting with us that go back to owners from 5 years ago who gave them away, and we can't find out who the new owner is.
No.
Oh.
So that's one thing people must also remember when they microchip, that if
change,
they do.
Yeah, update your details.
Yeah, it's very important, even if they move homes and take the husky or any dog with them.
Yes.
Because yeah. that's one of our biggest problems.
The other thing is having tags on your dog's collar as well, because it's much easier for somebody to pick a dog up. If they stop and pick your dog up, they can ring you. You know, it's very frustrating if you're somewhere and a dog's got no collar and you pick it up and you're like, okay, well, great. Well,
yes. And I'm sure we've all done that. I know me and my sister Julie often, she'll phone me, well, there's a dog. And it is so convenient if you can actually have a look.
Yeah.
And there's a phone number. We've often stood there on the side of the road, phoned and the owners come immediately.
Yeah. Or even if you drop them at a local vet or the SPCA, you can leave them a message and say, well, here is where your dog is. Please go fetch it.
Yes.
Then people aren't left frantically wondering, you know, what's happened to their dog. So.
Yeah, and Murphy's Law will be that you'll pick up a dog at 9 o'clock at night when all the vets are closed, so
no
you can't scan the dog.
No, exactly.
And then what do you do with it?
Exactly.
And didn't you pick up one late? Was it on New Year's Eve?
Oh, yeah, we've done it a couple of times. But, you know, then, of course, the garage or the inside of the car is going to be the place until the next morning.
Yes. Well, this is the problem with you. I also have other dogs. I can't bring them home.
No.
So you sit there. What do you do with them then? And New Year's Eve.
Yeah, no, goodness
me. The worst time. And we always do this whole big thing. Don't do fireworks. The devastation and maiming of these poor animals every year. But people only make a noise about it a week before New Year. And a little bit afterwards, everybody's, you know, arms up and freaking out. We should start talking about it now. Already get involved in your communities. Most communities have security centers. Get it out in your meetings, table it, and declare your area a firework free zone. Don't wait until a week before New Year's Eve. Do it now. You know, it's a devastating evening for a lot of dogs and families. So
but there's a lot of us rescuers that go out after midnight, driving around the streets.
Yes.
Yeah, we do that. I mean, I do that in my area as well. I've got the local security company that has told me that if I get into trouble, I must please phone them. They'll help me.
That's
great. So it's really nice, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, but we really do. In fact, I'm going to start posting on Facebook and let's start getting that awareness out there now before people start planning their parties and all the rest. I run around my area putting notes on all the gates saying firework free zone, and it actually works.
Yeah, it does.
It really does work if people realize the damage it's causing. So if you want to plan something and you want to do fireworks because it gives you pleasure for some reason, you know, rather find a place to go to where it's controlled, or do sparklers, you know,
sparklers.
Do something else that's not going to cause this horrible fear and anguish in animals.
Yeah.
But Emma, you know, I was saying earlier that I get a lot of photos sent to me and they're not great quality. I wanted to ask you, what are your tips for photographing your dog? Because it's always nice to have beautiful photos.
Yep.
In fact, more people can show you pictures of their dogs on their phone than their children.
Absolutely.
Even.
Absolutely. Okay, so I think tip number one, which I mentioned earlier, is have somebody to help you, because it's quite challenging to try and do it on your own unless your dog is very well behaved. The other thing is to get down onto the same level as your dog. So your camera is at their eye level. You'll get a much nicer picture like that. The other thing is to look for nice, even lighting. So much better to try and take pictures outside in the garden rather than on the couch in the dark with the flash on your phone. You'll get a much nicer picture.
Yes.
Yep, with some natural light. What else can I tell you? Making squeaky, funny dog noises. They tend to like that if they move their heads to one side. I have found there's only a certain amount of time that works for before the dogs look at you like...
And then get bored with
that. Bored of that now. Or have your helper behind you with a squeaky ball or treats or something just to get their attention. And you're going to have to work quite quickly.
And it's interesting that you say that you must be at eye level. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the pictures I've taken of my dogs, they're always looking up. Yeah. Because I'm standing there with the treats going,
yeah, there's nothing wrong. I think it's getting the angle right. If you're completely kind of standing up and over the top and they're looking directly up at you, super. But if you've kind of got them in the corner of the garden and they're miles away from you, you're going to get a nicer portrait at eye level.
On.
Same with children as well.
Okay.
So,
because the treats, I mean, I find mine, their focus is on the treats.
Yes.
But the minute those treats are gone, they're off again. So you've got to replace those.
Yep.
So it's a constant round of treats.
Yes, keeping the treat companies in business.
Yeah. Emma, how would you handle the husky? Because if you're going to get onto eye level with that one,
yes,
I mean, he's going to be all over
yes.
you in 2 seconds.
Yes.
Because there's no ways they can sit still.
No, it's either with them, you stand and kind of shoot directly over the top, so they're looking up at you. I found that's quite useful with. Especially if they're not your own dogs and you don't know what they're going to do, then that's maybe a little easier. And the other thing I like to do if I'm at the SPCA is to put dogs, sit them on something so they're a little bit higher up, because it tends to keep them a bit still for a while.
Okay.
Especially obviously you need to have someone to make sure they're not going to fall or to keep them safe. But especially for puppies, and puppies will always invariably want to be on you or chewing on you or chewing on the camera or
yes,
your hair or
yes.
your shoes. So if you have them elevated a little bit,
you've got a second.
Try and pin them down.
Yes.
Yes,
you've got a second. And camera wise, Emma, I mean, the cell phone cameras we have today, are perfectly acceptable, but I know a lot of our readers get confused because they send me a picture and I go, it's not high res enough.
Yes.
How can we explain that to people? What is their setting?
So
what's the story there?
So on your cell phone, I'm sort of in the dark here because I don't tend to take many pictures and print them from
sure.
my cell phone, is you just want the setting that gives you the largest file.
Okay.
So if you're taking a picture that you know you're going to send somewhere for printing, you need to select your largest file size and then make sure you're not sending via Instagram or anything, because that will, or Facebook, because it will make your file smaller. It'll compress.
Okay,
there we go. That's the
it.
Word I'm looking for. Thank you. So just the highest resolution setting, or the biggest setting you have available on whatever kit you're using,
yes,
is going to be
because
good.
Because when it's too low resolution, it
yes.
doesn't print, of course.
No,
and a lot of people are very confused about resolution.
Yes.
And they don't understand that. But yeah, I mean, you can get amazing photos or cell phones these days.
Yeah. If we're being technical, the resolution we're looking for is 300 DPI.
Dots per inch.
Dots per inch.
Right.
There you go.
And cats,
same kind of vibe. I have photographed cats who've been high on catnip before, which is always quite interesting. If you've got a cat who likes catnip, then you'll get some interesting shots there.
I'm sure.
Again, same principle. If they're treats orientated, use treats. If they're toy orientated, use toys. Cats can be easier than dogs because they if they're not sort of flitting around everywhere, but you might get them to sit still. But your cats are tricky because they like to do their own thing. So
But I almost find they do sit still. I mean, you get one of those feather toys or something, they focus. They look at that.
Exactly.
So in a way, they probably a little bit easier because they're not so busy.
Yes, they don't tend to move so fast necessarily.
I was just thinking now, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if it was something you did, but someone did a shelter calendar a few years back with the shelter managers that were nude.
With that was the off. Yeah,
it wasn't me.
I don't know
it
who did that, no. But I know,
did
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It was almost, what's that movie that was made about the woman in England?
Yes, with the cakes. Calendar Girls.
Calendar Girls. Go. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, I saw those calendars. They were quite something, and those women were very brave to have done that. I would
certainly not have done that.
Definitely not. I'd need one heck of a big dog to cover the bits. but Elke, your Nordic rescue, so you go out, you rescue these dogs, do you rehabilitate as well?
Yes. So we actually do, obviously, the lost and found, so we try and help there. We then have to, if we do take them into our care, we do rehabilitate them. We obviously have to look for owners, which we do. If we can't find the owners, obviously, then we put them up for adoption again.
Right, right.
And also what we're looking at now is obviously trying to focus more on educating the public, yeah.
And let's talk about the Husky as a breed. It's not the breed for everybody, is it? I mean, they have certain requirements. They need exercise. They need to be kept busy.
Huskies are, they do need a lot of exercise. They do need to be kept busy, and they love people. They absolutely adore people. So what we found lately is mainly that, you know, people, they do have a husky, they get one, and they treat it like your normal dog. You know, pat, pat when you come home and then walk away, do supper. A husky doesn't want that. You got to treat it like a kid. So you've got to basically spend time with him or her and faff around a little bit and spoil it, and then once they're happy with the attention they've gotten from you, then they'll lie by your feet and you can do your supper and you can watch your TV and you can do whatever. So and people just don't have, I don't know whether they don't have the time or they just don't understand it. So they are very misunderstood. Yes, they are.
Yes, you often see these huskies behind gates and you feel so sorry for them because you walk
past. And they
past.
Have to be in a pack system,
Oh,
really? So one husky, no.
No.
It's got to be more than one.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you see them standing behind the gates as you walk past with your dogs, and they seem so frustrated. You know, they want to go. They want to get out there.
They need quite a lot of exercise, hey? As well.
They do. Yep. That's why you see, even when people want to adopt that are on smaller properties, we say as long as they exercise them, like take them jogging at night time, then you can still get away with them being in a slightly smaller property. But obviously it's got to be bigger than a shoebox, obviously quite big.
Yeah.
But I mean, we then insist on them, you know, that they do take them out for exercise. Otherwise, the dog's going to get frustrated. He is or she is going to dig or try and jump the walls or destroy whatever comes in sight. But if your dog gets all the love and all the exercise, the Siberian Husky isn't actually just that destructive like people make him sound to be.
Yeah.
I mean, so with all dogs, I think if they just left, they get frustrated. And then, as you say, comes the digging and the trying to escape. And huskies are very vocal too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you come home and they just attack your slipper.
Yeah.
But it's actually an attention-seeking thing. They're saying to you, you're not giving me the attention I want. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take something of yours and I'm going to chew it.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yes. And they're the perfect dogs. You're saying people spend a fortune on gym memberships. Get a husky and go jogging. You know, they're great to go for runs with
they
and things
it.
Like that. Because that's what they breed to do, isn't it? They love running.
So I think what we need to sort of also look at is maybe trying to get sort of more of these husky walks in some of the suburbs, you know?
Mm.
Because there are a couple of husky walks. I think
what is a husky walk?
I mean, it's just when everybody meets on a Sunday morning at 6 o'clock at a particular park or area in Pretoria. They do it in Fairy Glen or something, you know. And everybody brings their huskies and they just go on a trail. It's like going to Walkhaven almost.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just Siberian Huskies or Husky Crosses, you know.
Okay.
And there are a lot of walks, like I said, in Pretoria, but we need to focus on some more sort of like East Rand, West Rand. It will help some of the owners because a lot of people do. They don't mind taking them out on a Sunday morning.
No, sure. I mean, I was at Walkhaven this weekend and there was a couple of people there that went before you get into Walkhaven and letting their dogs run on that road.
Yeah.
But they can also be very vocal. I know I had neighbors with dogs that cried the whole day. But again, these people were out the whole day.
Yeah.
Came home.
It's also
an
attention seeking thing because look with mine, they only become noisy when mom comes home.
Mm.
You know, when they hear the garage gate going open, then it's like 2 seconds or, well, 2 minutes of howling, and then that's it.
But they got that distinctive wolf-like howl. It's the most amazing thing.
It is. It's lovely to hear. It really is.
The most amazing thing. And how are they with other animals? Aggression?
No, good. No? Very good.
Great.
We've normally found the opposite, that when we do introductions with, we had a Duxie incident once where the Duxie decided it was going to nip the husky. Mm. And the husky thought, no ways am I coming near you again. So the husky just backtracked and just went to the corner. And obviously we couldn't adopt the husky out to that home because the ducks just didn't. They're very good with other dogs. They're very, very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And with kids?
Oh, wonderful. The only problem you've got to watch out is, you know, the age of the kids and the boisterousness of a husky.
Yeah. Right.
Because when they're going to play mode in the afternoons, early hours in the morning or in late afternoons like my ones do, I mean, they knock me over. They just come charging through that house, down the passage, and you just got to get out of their way. But it's a short time period. It's just, you know, releasing the energy and things like that. So, yeah, we have that kind of a problem with the young kids. They might just get knocked over. Yeah.
Knocked over. And grooming? Easy to groom? Because they are very fluffy. Groom.
You've just got to remember to do it on a regular basis, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, so there's various brushes you can use that you can buy at the pet shops and things like that.
So they don't need grooming parlors and stuff like that.
A lot of people do take them, but, you know, I prefer to do my own grooming.
You can do it yourself, yes. So if somebody is listening now, they want to go and adopt a beautiful husky, how do they get hold of you, Elke? What do they do? Where do they find one?
Well, we've got lots up for adoption at the moment. Stacks. Too many, I would say. But obviously, they can either phone us on our cell phone number. I don't know.
Yes, please, if you've got your cell phone or website.
Yeah, it'll best be email address and cell phone, okay, which do you need the
details? Yes, please.
Okay, so cell phone would be 082-927-4222.
Okay.
And email address is very straightforward. It's Elke, which is E-L-K-E. At NordicRescue.co.
And I think you've got a Facebook page too, don't
you? We've got
you,
the
Elke?
Facebook page as
also
well.
Also Nordic Rescue.
It's Nordic Rescue, yes, correct.
Okay, and I mean, you, aside from adoption, you can always use...
Yeah, we also help. You know, people phone us up when they've got a problem, like behavioral problem and things like that.
Yes.
So we do go out and try and see whether we can help. If we can't help, obviously we'll refer them to someone that can help
them. That can help.
Yeah, so we're there for them, yeah.
No, fantastic. And Emma, I you know, again, we're talking about the festive season coming up. I myself am looking to get a lovely portrait. It's always nice to get these portraits done of the family with the dog and whatever. How can people get hold of you?
You can give me a call, 076-564-4365. Have a look on the website, which is emmaobryan.com. Facebook page is Emma O'Brien Photos. And if anyone's interested in the Rescue Dog Project, Facebook page is Rescue Dog Photo Project.
Oh, wonderful. So, I mean, that would make an awesome gift.
Absolutely.
Especially for somebody who loves their dog, to give them a portrait of their dog to hang on the wall.
Absolutely. And I also do give Santon SPCA a 200 Rand donation for every shoot book that includes a dog. So if you want family pictures and the dog's included.
With the doggy in.
Yeah.
They're sent in SBS, they also be benefits.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I think that would make such an awesome, and not just dogs, obviously, your cat portrait, maybe
cats,
even your
horses,
budgie or your bearded dragon.
Parrots.
Your goldfish. I'm sure
and
you
the koi.
The koi.
Yeah.
And would you come to their home or they come to you?
I do either. Depends on dogs. If it's cats, then it's easier to go to someone's home.
Yes.
Depends on how the dogs behave, really, because some people are more comfortable with their dogs being at home.
Yes.
Or we can go to a park, or they can come to the studio.
No, well, that's a fantastic gift idea to give back. Well, we've run out of time again. It goes so quickly every Wednesday. Just a reminder that the latest issue of Canine Zone magazine is now on sale at Spar, Pick and Pay, C&A and Woolworths. And this is, of course, our Beagle issue. We're also going to be giving advice on what to do if your dog chews everything, and the wonderful story of Lassie and Trinity, who came home after many, many years. So get out there and get that. Next week, in tying in with this issue on beagles, we will have Beagle Rescue in studio. And we're also going to talk about the little weaver birds that we're seeing all over in our gardens right now. Until next week, as I usually say, give all your pets a big hug from me. Bye for now.
Animal Central on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.